It's too late. All right. Well, let's see here. In the news, a number of NRA members going to the tailor with bullet holes in their pockets increases dramatically. Well, what do you know?
Live from Cincinnati, Ohio to Flagstaff, Arizona, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, and I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, author George Saunders, all the news that isn't, and the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know is provided by PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who believes the Gipper had a fake girlfriend, too, it's Michael Feldman.
Oh, yeah. Hence the expression, fake one for the Gipper. Okay, we'll get to that, too. How are y'all? Pretty good, then? Yeah? Enjoying this temporary weather? This false spring, as the French say? Are you good?
I'm doing well.
Do you have new frames?
Sarah Nix? Yeah, they change every few days, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They do. Mm-hmm. By themselves? I mean, do they...
No, I make a selection. They're all laid out.
You have several frames?
I do, yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah. That's advanced. Well, in the news, the National Rabbit Association sues the NRA over the trademark. Then there's a guy who escaped prison by carving a bar of soap into an NRA card. The National Recovery Administration would like its initials back, I know that. You know, some of the NRA youth do the sideways shooty thing, but the elders frown on it. Okay, in other news. I believe you knew that with the... Do it overhand or underhand? Overhand, okay. I got to get a new finger. This one doesn't work. Firing blanks with that one. In other news, still awaiting the analysis on Lance Armstrong's tears. Well, come on. That's why they call it dope, you know? It is a bit shocking that the Everstrong bands were used to find a vein. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Maybe we should be looking into why so many grown men ride bikes wearing unitards. In other news, the debt ceiling is easy. Just take the pill that makes you smaller. See? And you get ceilings a lot farther away then. Headroom. Or get a debit ceiling card and let Dad cover it. President Obama doing the give him hell Barry thing full time now. Very effective, I like it. Could be worse. Could be doing Haley Berry. Instead of give him hell Barry. Haley Berry. I don't know what I was thinking there. Anyway, you can stare at Congress without blinking, but don't try it on Michelle, is my advice. Inauguration, the common wisdom says that Chief Justice Roberts will not swear in Osama this time. He's been working on it. Like Paganini, though. It's the more you say it, the more you mess it up. Looks like there'll be no 20-gun salute at the inaugural. Due to conditions being what they are. They couldn't get an NRA minion. A little Jewish joke for all the Orthodox in the audience here today. Hard to find Jewish guys that can work in AR-15. Thinking of getting one. Governor Walker will be hosting the Wisconsin Bowling Ball at the inaugural, where he will attempt to give the president a Packer jersey for the third time. The French pick another fight. Say, not your father's French, I'll tell you. These guys like to fight. There must be a way we can get into this thing in Mali, I'm thinking. Page 3. No longer get to pose nude at the TSA check-in anymore. They're taking the booths out. But there's still a picture booth in the terminal if you want to slip them something on the way in there, you know. Fecal implants are now a possibility. No kidding. I don't know if Medicare covers that. I'd like to see that explanation. Well, the Dreamliner, yeah. You know, if they let us bring on lithium batteries in our check-ins, then they would have had a spare. Simple as that. Of course, the prototype of the Dreamliner was called the Edselliner. We know that now. Manti Te'o's girlfriend's name was Georgia Glass. Brady Bunch joke kills him. I got him. Okay, all right. Was not. Not so unusual. This whole thing is not so unusual, though. My wife actually is a hoax. Okay. I'm just going to take this whole section of this out here. And it's like it never happened, starting with the... Okay. What's left? In his inaugural speech, the President Obama will vow to put a man in Congress by the end of the decade. Critics assail torture in Les Mis. Les Mis?
Les Mis.
See, see? It's like Paganini.
I know, you said it too many times.
I know. No. The Bears are now the Chicago Alouettes. Alouette, everyone, the Bears theme song. Alouette, Alouette, we used to be the Bears. Okay. Guy from the Canadian League, they use the wrong balls and everything. Play with rugby balls or something, don't they? Or misshapen volleyballs. And their fields are too big this way and too short that way. Or maybe they're longer both ways. I don't know. It's not right. In other news, Argentine mamas, haul your daughters inside. Mark Sanford's back. Now, you know, Wiener's going to spring up next. What's his name? Wiener. Tony. We got another name. The Dreamliner problems have been traced back to lack of plastic shades. Okay. Not so good at the Dreamliner jokes here, I guess. Maybe it's not funny or something. I don't know. Change called for in value of Scrabble letters. You'll have to pry the tile out of my cold, dead hand. You. Walmart buys $50 billion worth of made-in-USA crap. I'm sorry, fecal transplant. And Whole Foods CEO Benito Mussolini compares Obamacare to fascism. That's all the news, Edison. Thank you so much. George Saunders has a new book out. He's in the Catskills. How do you like that? What are he's doing up there? It's called The 10th of December, a collection of stories. Great book. New York Times calls it the best book you're ever going to read or something like that. It was pretty profuse in their praise. And let's go right now to George in the Catskills. Hi, George.
Hey, how are you doing?
Pretty good. What are you doing in the Catskills there?
I'm just riding my stationary bike in my unitard.
Are you a biker?
Why is that funny? I don't...
It's not. Obviously, it's not, because I said it and it's got nothing.
How you say it.
Yeah, it's all on how you missay it, in my case. Are you a biker, though? Do you get on the bike and you...
Never. No. Never in a million years.
No. But you do you ride just for exercise indoors?
No. I just like wearing the unitard.
Well, that goes without saying, I guess. Yeah. This is a great collection, George.
Thank you.
Loved it. Wonderful. And, you know, so I was doing deep background on you, and you're actually a geologist, right, at heart?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went to this place called the Colorado School of Mines out in Golden.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Do they have a good writing program out there?
They had no writing program.
Yeah. So does the mining background influence the stylistics of your writing?
Yeah, actually it does. You know, I right out of college, I went to Sumatra and worked in the oil fields there. So yeah. Really influenced the politics of the whole deal, actually.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been kind of a Ayn Rand right winger when I was in college. And then, went to Asia and saw that and all the suffering and the poverty, and it kind of dislodged something in my moral view.
Yeah. You're sort of popping in and out there. Are you actually moving on some apparatus?
No. I'm just on a cell phone up and way up in the hill. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. Could you climb up onto the roof possibly for a moment? And we can.
Okay, I'll try it. Yeah.
We can or stick. Is there a window that you can open?
Yeah. I got it.
Okay.
So you have to picture a middle-aged balding guy leaning out a window in a unitard in the tent.
I personally like the image, and it kind of frightens me that I do.
Yeah.
So you were an objectivist, and then you became a Buddhist. Now, that's quite a leap of,
yeah,
of faith.
Well, you know, actually, what happened to me was I was in Chicago and wasn't planning to go to college and read Atlas Shrugged. And
right.
Somehow, in this really corny way, it made me want to go to college. I had this strange vision of wearing a college sweater and kind of discussing objectivism with some co-eds and stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm not a big fan of hers now. I'm grateful that she got me into college.
Yeah. Are you leaning out the window now? Because we're getting no luck with this. Can you try another window, Jared?
Okay, I'll try another window.
Try another window.
I'm over here.
Okay.
Should I try another unitard? Okay,
good.
How's this?
How's your reception in that unitard? It's pretty good? Okay. That sounds a lot better. So Ayn Rand, okay, you're saying, was influential in a sort of the opposite way?
Yeah, honestly, like a lot of, insecure kids, I really found something in her. Like, she seemed to be saying that the reason I was doing so badly is because I was being treated unfairly.
Treated unfairly.
Yeah. So, but anyway, it did get me into school, and I got the geophysics degree and got a chance to see the world.
Okay. Can you go out in the hallway? Is there a hall... I'm sorry about this, really, but you're popping in and out. I want to hear every word. I'm hearing like every other word. Try the hallway.
I'll try to only say the good word. Every other word would be the good one.
Throw on a robe and go out in the hallway with the phone.
I'm outside. I'm literally out on the front porch now.
Oh, you're on the front porch. Okay.
Yeah. And it is cold out here. I'm doing this in the state of Wisconsin.
You know, we really appreciate it for you. We won't keep you out there too long unless you want to stay for a while there. Let's go through this story by story now, and I like to reveal all the endings of all your stories because I'm known for that in doing my author interviews and that sort of thing. But I sort of figured out a theme in these stories, at least. In fact, I think in most of them, is that there's always a heroic action by a non-heroic person.
Yes.
That seems to be universal. Like
I think that's right.
Yeah. We're trying to be heroic in the face of ourselves.
Yeah. I feel that way. When I was younger, I guess I had sort of big ideas of heroism, but now just to get through a day without being a dope is pretty good.
Yeah. And it's true in all these stories. The guy who was in the spider head, who actually does a heroic act, he's a murderer, does a heroic act by dosing himself on this drug so that someone else doesn't have to be dosed with it, basically. An act of total heroism. He doesn't have to murder for the first time in his life.
Right.
You know,
right.
So the obsession is gone.
You know, I'm 54, and I, the last few years, had this huge attack of gratitude. Life has been pretty good, and somehow that worked its way into the book a little bit. You know, this feeling that it is actually possible to be good in the world, even in the face of kind of miserable conditions, and the question of how does that happen? How does it occur that a person might actually rise to the occasion?
Mm. You know, I think if you went back inside now, then because we were having better luck inside, and then that'll save you. We'll just wait for a second. Go back
here. Yeah, I'm in the house now.
Yeah. So at age 54, what did you have?
No, just this sort of wave of gratitude.
Oh.
Yeah, that life could go well and things could be happy, and
yeah,
and so that works its way into the stories.
Yeah.
I'm going to just sort of do it in really simple, minimal language. I'll go, look good.
Well, that's sort of the way you're. That's sort of the way you're right too. So that's almost perfect, really.
Please buy many.
Yeah.
Over.
And in the cover story itself, the 10th of December, which actually is my favorite story in the book. I love it because there's two things going on there, and also people in your books always have these internal conversations of invented characters, usually going on in their heads at all times.
Yeah. Well, that certainly is true for me, and I hope it's true for everyone else. Book, good. Bye.
Bye, book.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry about this connection.
No, that's all right. $26.
We're making
$26, aren't we? What?
We're kind of making it fun.
We're making it fun, and when it should be very painful, as we know.
Yeah.
Because, but in that particular story now, it's really great because the kid gets to be the hero in the book, but also the guy who's the guy he saves is also gets to be a hero as well, yeah. And they're both caught in the middle of their internal conversations, a very dramatic kind for the guy who goes out basically to kill himself because he's got a fatal illness. And doesn't want to be a burden on his family. And the kid who's just sort of, this kid has got to be you as a young man, is what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
He's out there going out to have an adventure that he's entirely invented in his mind.
Right.
About saving this girl who's in his homeroom, who calls him by the wrong name. But if she knew him, she would really see all the value that he has as a person, right?
Right. I kind of love the idea that when good things happen, it's cooperative.
Mm-hmm.
When I was young, I had this sort of messianic idea that a good person was just so powerful and working alone. But now it seems like when good things happen, it's community,
Yeah, there's a community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Book. Good.
Buy a book.
Buy many. Buy many.
Buy many book.
Yeah. Yeah. I like when you're describing them. You do a good job.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. I'm starting to talk like that now, too, so I'm just saying, real good story.
Yeah.
Me like.
Thank you.
And let's go through all these stories one by one here now. And just let's go right to the endings of them all.
Just read them all.
Now, the other thing, you've been compared to Kurt Vonnegut and so forth. And it's kind of interesting because he was an engineer.
He was.
Yeah, he worked for GE and that sort of stuff. Where does the corporate side of what you do or the advertising commercial side of your insights, the work side, come from in your stories? Did you have a work experience like GE that
I worked at a company called Radian.
Oh, you did, yeah.
Yeah, an environmental engineering company.
Uh-huh.
About 7 years.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So all of that corporate speech kind of got under my skin, and I do it very naturally now.
Corporate speech skin.
Yes, I'm a results-oriented person.
Yeah. And there's a lot of drugs in this book, but very specific sort of drugs catered to certain uses.
Yeah.
Designer drugs, I guess you call them. And particularly in that story, the Spiderhead one, where they have to wear belts that release various drugs into them, but also in other places too.
I love the idea that our character might have to do with chemistry. If you wake up and you have flu, you might be a less graceful person, and I was kind of just riffing on that idea that maybe we're not as autonomous as we think.
Right.
Yeah.
Not as autonomous.
Not as. book is good. To buy many.
Book is good. Drugs good. Drugs good.
Drugs good.
Some drugs bad. Oh. Some drugs bad.
Actually, this reminds me of what it was like to be in high school. You're desperately trying to communicate, but it's not working.
Yeah. That's because all those conversations were in your head, I think.
Yeah.
Pretty much for the most part there. And I also like the fact that in that also the 10th of December, whose ending I'm getting to in just a minute, just, you know, spoiler alert, I did that with an author, a woman, well-known woman author, and I revealed the ending of the book inadvertently, and I got hate mail from all these people who, you know.
Oh, really?
It's totally inadvertent, and it's just because I wanted to say the guy should have been in, you know, Wisconsin instead of Minnesota. That was my only effort. But revealed the ending that he still was living and all that sort of stuff.
So. Yeah. Well, it is kind of funny because you spend months writing these stories trying to make them rising, and then the first review comes out and all the answers are right there.
Right. Start with the end and work backwards.
Yeah.
How'd you think of this ending here? You know, the guy who was going out to end his life to make it easier on his family, what I like and relate to, I guess, is the fact that he's saying all these things in his head, having all these conversations with everyone in his life, past, present, whatever. But he's getting phrases wrong. He's not able to say the words right.
Right.
Due to his condition, the fact he's out, and he's kind of losing consciousness as well. And so he keeps trying to say things over. As long as he can actually say the words, then he's still okay, you know. But it's very frustrating.
I love that idea that I write in this thing called third person ventriloquist.
Third person what?
Ventriloquist. So you're in an internal monologue, but restricted to that person's diction.
Right.
Yeah, and that kind of brings it really close. It makes it sort of intimate.
Yeah, third person ventriloquist is good.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that. All right. Okay. All right, I don't know. I can't go any further in that story, I guess. Heroism, and then so you're in the middle of a book tour right now, too, right? Is that?
What's that? I'm sorry. Now I can't hear you.
You're in the middle of a tour?
Yeah. Yes, I'm home for 2 days before I go down south.
South?
South.
How do you like those things? Do you actually like going and reading and all that sort of thing, or is this a personal trauma for you?
No, I love it. Yeah, because you can say things and people understand you, and it's communication.
Yeah.
You get a big laugh from a sympathetic crowd that feels a little sorry for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I really love it. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like to go through some of my marginalia right now with you, if I could do that. Speaks his mind without drug.
I did once, yeah.
Okay, good, thank you. Some other ones here. Didn't write a lot of them because I didn't want to put words in your mouth.
I wish you would have.
Room 6.
Oh, yeah, those are beautiful days.
Beautiful days. Exhortation, and we don't really know. Also, what I like about your stories is the fact you don't really know what's going on at all. Even at the end, by the end, you still don't know what it just happened. But yeah, and also your humor. Now, I mean, you know, you're called a humorist, which you are, but it's like the human comedy kind of thing. They're all, you know, you kind of feel bad about laughing in a lot of your stories. You know, about what you just laughed about.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's a Chicago thing.
Oh, it is.
You know, I think so. And when I was a kid, if you wanted to express some real emotion, you never did it overtly, you know.
Okay.
Like, if your uncle wanted to say he loved you, he would, like, knee you in the groin. Was your uncle like that also in Wisconsin?
I never got kneed by my uncle. No, my brother did it, but he wasn't saying I loved you, I don't think. But I know what
I'll
you mean.
I'll send my uncle over.
Yeah. I know what you mean. Yeah. Like the character, yeah. Once again, in the his father was a complete jerk, but his stepfather was like the most wonderful man, Alan, I remember his name was. Most wonderful man in his life, in giving and understanding, and would comb the lice out of his hair and that sort of, but his own father didn't get him, didn't understand him, didn't particularly like him.
Right.
In fact, there's a lot of cases in these stories about parents who have no use for their children whatsoever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not the most subtle writer, so. No, but I mean that's one way you can quickly get cut to the chase is to have somebody whose parents aren't sympathetic, you know.
Unsympathetic parents.
Yeah.
Okay. Or like the what was that?
I have no idea.
Oh, that was a gamma ray burst or something going on. Okay.
Sorry, we had tacos last night. It's funny how that will always come through, you know?
Yeah.
We could do a whole conversation in just that mode.
Yes, really. We certainly could, I'll tell you. Given the Feldman history, I think that would fit in right with that. Well, you know, what did you think about the New York Times review? That was saying it's the best book you're going to read, like, in your life.
That it was amazing.
Yeah.
I think we all have to just agree not to read any other books this year. just to protect the Times reputation.
Oh, that's good, man. That's good, man.
Now, that was such a generous piece, and it's amazing how it sort of changed everything now. Yeah. Crowds are like four times as big, and it's pretty exciting.
Oh, yeah. It's not intimidating at all for the author?
No, I'm 54, you know. It's just nice. Yep.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, wait 10 years to see if you feel that way.
Yeah, I had a fellow writer sent me a congratulations email.
Uh-huh.
And I said, oh, yeah, I'm just waiting for the backlash. And about 2 seconds later, he emailed me to say, I like your old work better.
Yeah, that's cool. That's what friends are for. Pretty much. And then, but I mean, even like, you know, when you win a genius grant, that's got to be a lot of pressure, right?
It kind of is, but I just always figure if you take the energy and push it towards the next book,
yeah,
and just say, I'm going to try to deserve this.
Yeah.
And, you know, neuroses is sort of boring. You know, better to go ahead and do your best and not let anything slow you down.
Can you win more than one genius grant?
I can't.
No. Maybe in another field, maybe in geology.
Yeah. Maybe in radio broadcasting.
Yeah. No, I think you're doing better than I am.
Yeah. No,
but
no.
But in geology, what was your field within geology?
It was geophysics, seismic exploration.
Seismic exploration.
Okay. Yeah.
Wow.
So we would go out and drill a deep hole and blow off some dynamite and then collect the sound wave information and know where to drill.
Yeah.
It was even more boring than that sentence.
Well, George, I'm not going to make you go through any more of this. This is probably not the most pleasant experience for you. It's like sort of dental experience.
No.
They're trying to talk with your mouth with somebody's fist in it.
Do you know my dentist?
But I will say, this is probably the best book you're going to read this year, depending on how many books you read, as George himself said. So, 10th of December it is, George Sanders. Thank you so much, George.
Thank you. Sorry for the transmission problem.
Yeah, me too. But it was great talking to you in between the problems.
You too. My pleasure. Yeah.
Good sense of George Sanders there for you in the Catskills. Darn phones. Darn those phones.
You did remarkably well.
There. Doesn't happen on fresh air, does it? I don't think so. Even read the damn book.
You always do.
I always read the damn books.
Yeah.
It's a good one, though. I think it's great.
No,
it's great. These are amazing. But like I say, they're funny, but they're, God, you know, things that you're laughing at are actually kind of sad.
Knee in the groin, yeah. Sad. Oh.
Yeah. Well, that's Chicago.
Yeah.
But you live in Chicago, you know how that works.
Well, I didn't grow up there. But.
No. Platteville is.
Nobody need me in the groin there.
No? I'm surprised. Near the mining school.
Yeah.
Huh? See, there's some conjunctions.
Yeah, there's connections everywhere you
correlations.
Look.
Correlations.
Connective tissue growing everywhere.
There's correlations. Here's one on your shoulder now. Correlation. Hey, Jeff? Okay. Covered that pretty well. Are you as tired as you look? You look like you're really tired. Yeah, you're just hanging onto that bass for dear life. Usually the bass leans on you, but this is vice versa this time. Did you have a gig last night?
Yeah, I'm tired.
Yeah, you're tired. Okay, that's fine. Why is it the same thing that's happening with Sanders is happening with people I'm 3 feet away from? this number B.
This is called "It's a Lovely Day."
Once again. Okay. Once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Visualizer. Huh? Oh.
He's got my microphone. Didn't you want that?
No? You done with that? Okay. What about the boys in that band here, huh? That's John Tooley, that's Jeff Hammond. One plays a piano, one plays the bass. What are the odds on their meeting? No, I don't. Okay. Who is your favorite visual artist? Are there non-visual artists or the artists who don't do stuff you can see? Huh? What?
You can hear them without seeing them, the musicians.
But they're not artists. Come on, I know artists. But artist is a guy in a smock and a beret and got paint all over him and wears that around so you know he's an artist. But well, Tracy Hine. Appleton. Tracy Hine. What is... Okay, I got to go over there. Excuse me. Pardon me. What are you walking around with that thing for? Where? Now I lost Tracy Hine. See what you made me do? Okay. We got a new camera, apparently. You turn around. Come on, come on. Got a new camera. Here, just turn around. Here, wait. Okay. Am I getting the camera shot?
No.
No? Yeah. Oh, Tracy Hine, just a visual artist.
Yes.
As opposed to
performing artist, musician.
Okay.
Like artwork on the wall.
Comedic artist.
Huh?
Comedic artist.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, that's like musical artist. Okay. Thank you. That's all I wanted.
You're welcome.
Okay. Okay. Now it makes sense to me. Yeah. And there's what my dad called artistes. My dad always said about artistes. So anyone he didn't like was an artiste. Can I impersonate a famous public radio personality and have the audience guess who it is? I think you can, Paul Mellon. Software trainer. Well, he was right here the whole time. Already on camera. Stand up there, Paul Mellon. And you're going to do this, and we're going to guess who it is?
That is correct. It is a quiz show. Is it not?
All right.
Oh, I get the microphone? Wow. It was on my bucket list, after all. All right. Now, Michael, do you mean to tell me you're driving your Subaru Forester around Madison on three wheels? That's something my brother would do.
Garrison Keillor. Holy cow, that was spot on. Nice job. Very nice job. Okay. Let's see. Alex Zadrazil, is that right? Is that close? Zadrazil, would you say Zadrazil? You say it once.
Zadrazil?
I said that.
Nobody can ever get it right.
No, no, it sounds like something you inject with a syringe, though, doesn't it? Zadrazil. Alex, he's on Zadrazil maintenance.
Sure.
How are you?
Good.
What are you doing these days?
High school student.
Yeah? Where are you at?
Appleton.
Appleton?
Yeah.
Hmm? What do you got that you like this year?
I have German.
You like German?
AP US History.
Yeah. I mean, do you like any of it, though?
Yes.
Which part of it?
The going home, end of the day. Yeah. Always nice.
Going to a club or an activity?
Band.
Oh, good, cool. What are you playing?
Clarinet.
Okay. That's not annoying to have a clarinet player.
No.
Because your dad probably played clarinet, too.
He
No, nope, never was a magician.
No.
Never an artiste?
Nope. No.
Okay, but you play the clarinet and you're pretty good at it?
Nope. Yes, I am.
Did you have to take clarinet because that was the only instrument open or what?
Could never buzz my lips to play brass, so.
Yeah.
No sense of rhythm, couldn't play percussion. Yeah. Stuck with clarinet.
Clarinet's a good choice then, I think. Trombone, though, too. You could have done trombone. No, you can't purse your lips for a trombone.
No.
Your embouchure is not what it should be. Is that what you're saying?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. How's the school lunch there at Appleton?
I never eat it.
No?
No.
You bring your lunch?
Yep.
Do you make it yourself?
Yes.
What do you make for yourself?
Oranges, apples, and yogurt. That's it. Same thing every day.
Same thing every day? Yep. Don't you have a sandwich of some sort?
No.
Did you have a bad experience with a sandwich?
No. Nope, never.
You don't care for sandwich? Do you eat solid foods at all? I mean, meat products or byproducts?
No.
You're vegetarian?
Of course. Yeah.
That would account for that then.
Yeah.
Do you cook for yourself at home?
Yes.
And what do you make yourself?
Let's see. Rice.
Rice?
My mom's having a heart attack from all the messes I've created.
Oh, you create a lot of mess when you cook?
Yep.
You experiment, you make different... Yeah.
And then you just leave it, and then magically disappears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still do that.
It's great.
Yeah, I don't know how that really...
And then for whatever reason, she's cranky with the rest of the day.
Do you have a dish that you made that you're kind of proud of that's a vegetarian cuisine that you might want to pass along here?
No.
Rice?
Yeah.
Various types of rice?
Yep.
Just white rice?
Yeah.
Did you ever try like a brown rice or?
No, he's too cheap to buy anything else.
Is that true?
No.
He would buy it, he says, if you.
Yeah. I'll see about that.
Okay. Well, Alex, it's been great. I don't know what you had a question for me. I can't read it.
You can't read my handwriting either. one of these days. Yes or no, have you ever used performance-enhancing drugs or blood doped in order to be more funny?
Well, if I thought it would help, probably no amount of extra blood is going to help. But, there is a lot of blood doping, I'll be honest with you, in public radio. Tremendous amount.
Oh, yeah.
That's where all your tax dollars go, really, is blood doping apparatus in public radio. But thank you for asking.
Yeah.
Alex? We got something for Alex. He was really on the spot there.
Sure,
let's give him something.
Sure. Well, he could get some religion playing church bingo, looking for such things as blessings and sin from Say Cheese Designs.
There you go. I don't have it right here on. I know. We'll get it to you. Don't go anywhere. Because he went through an ordeal there, I thought. Almost as bad as the interview that earlier, George. My favorite era or ERA? Equal Rights Amendment? I like the one we had. It was good. I'd like to see it again. Era. Favorite era? Okay. On your business. I like the 30s because the Art Deco and I always thought, it would have been cool except for Hitler and everything. Would have been that's a big if, actually, as the more I think about it, but I like the... I suppose they weren't actually black and white in those days. I always think of it, it'd be great to live where everyone was black and white and everything was black and white. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Thank you very much. Do you have a favorite era?
The turn of the century.
This century or the last century?
The coming century.
The next century?
Yes.
Like the year 3000?
Absolutely.
God. All right. What?
It can be whatever you want.
It can be whatever it wants, as far as I'm concerned, because I'm not going to be there. I certainly can do whatever they want at the turn of the next century. But okay, well, that's good. So you're sort of a futurist?
Today.
What about next Tuesday? Will you still be a...
Yes.
Yes, okay. So that's the future, as far as I'm concerned. Okay, we got a... I was just getting wound up here. I was coming down from that interview high, and I had to... we have to know who can and cannot participate in the quiz. Who's got... Yeah, I'll meet you over at the aisle here. The camera's gone. First time in the camera. I want this captured. Yeah, let's go over here where people can see us. Yeah, over here. Step right over here. And your name is, of course?
My name is Art Scottberg.
Art Scottberg is here with us, ladies and gentlemen. He's going to read the four disclaimers. Tells you who can and cannot participate in the quiz. Art?
Do you want the regular voice or do you want the fake radio announcer voice?
Do whatever you like.
Fake radio announcer voice? Okay. Number one, all questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, and although the answers have not, ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. How's that?
Good.
Okay. Number two, got me a surplus flamethrower for my ice dams. Number three, persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. Number four, all opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Well done. You're too good. Tone it down. You can keep that, yes. On track. I love these things. I gotta get these at home. Little barriers. I need more barriers at home. Okay, here's a chance for you to show if you're interested in the What Do You Know quiz. If you thought, you know, that's something I could do. And here's your chance then. You're thinking to yourself, I don't want to put words in your head. But you're thinking, you got it. All right, the futurist. Come on, stand up here just a second. Let's just see if you qualify for the quiz. You are?
David Hupti.
Pretty big, you qualify. Okay, get up here. Get up there on the stage. David, let's give a little. All right. Have a seat there, David. Yeah. It's one of these guys, and they get up, they keep getting up. You know, anything. Oh, all right. Do whatever you want, David. I don't really care. I'm not going to stop you.
I'll probably be shorter in the future.
Yeah. Were you in the Marines, David?
No, I was not.
I saw you responding to some of that Marine stuff.
Yeah, there. I'm sure they wouldn't have had me.
No, really? Were you in the military?
Well, no.
No, okay. Huh? Who are you reading? Who do you
I'm
like to read?
Closer to that, probably.
Who
I'm
do you
sorry?
Like to read? What are you reading right now?
What am I reading right now?
Yeah. That's what I said.
Fiasco.
Fiasco.
About going into Iraq. The
oh,
war
yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, you read that? Yeah, is it good?
By Rick, Tom Ricks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, cool. And are you from around here? Or
Appleton, which apparently...
Oh, Appleton. We got a big Appleton.
This side of the auditorium is from Appleton.
Holy cow. Appleton is here. Nice to have all of Appleton here. What do you do there in Appleton?
I work for American Transmission Company.
Really? The American transmissions?
Yep.
Do you do any foreign transmissions there?
High voltage electric transmission.
Oh, electric transmission.
Yes.
Okay. And what part of that do you do?
I spend a lot of time talking to elected officials and landowners and other people that have an interest in our projects.
Explaining that it's not stray voltage, that is electrocuting their cows, that sort of thing?
As often as I can.
There's no truth to that rumor.
No,
there's no, not. No. But you know what it is? It's those cow magnets.
Yeah. Well,
they're generating their own electrical field yeah, in their several
steel
stomachs.
The steel cows are problematic for us, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I'm glad we cleared that up. And are you from around here somewhere originally? Or?
We lived in Madison for quite a while.
Oh,
I went to school here, but I grew up until I was 13 in Chicago, in suburban Chicago.
Yeah. Where'd you go to school here?
UW-Madison.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Did you specialize in electric transmission?
I specialized in going to college.
Yeah, good. How many years did that take you?
Well, I graduated with 172 credits, if that's any indication.
Yeah. Did you know you had enough earlier than that, or did you...
I wasn't quite sure.
Yeah.
It's better not to take any chances.
Yeah, exactly.
What the heck? David, great to have you here. You know this quiz works. Someone out there plays along
with you. I believe
I
do, yeah.
Okay. And someone out there calls in. And Sarah Nix, how do they do that?
They dial 1-800-942-5669. Okay. And you're going to ask them a qualifying question of some kind.
All right. Okay. Here's the answer. Actually, it's snow globes. Snow globes in the news. I want to know why snow globes are in the news. If you know, give us a call here, like Charlie did from Dunlap, Tennessee. Hey, Charlie.
Hey.
How's it going?
I'm all right. How you doing, Mr. Feldman?
Fine, thanks. I like the way you say Feldman.
Did I say that okay?
Yeah, no, it sounded really good. It sounded impressive. I was impressed with myself.
I can say it different.
No. Really, that's fine. That's fine, Charlie. How's it going?
Hey, it's going all right. How's it going with you?
Yeah, good. What's your day like? What's going on?
Well, actually, I'm working today.
We are. You're working right now?
I'm working right now.
Well, I can tell, yeah. What are you working at?
Well, I'm self-unemployed.
Oh, you're self-unemployed. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Charlie, let me say snow globes to you and see if that rings a bell as far as the news. Snow globes in the news?
Snow globes in the news.
Yes. Any idea?
Well, let me think about that. Let's see. You got the globes going around, and then you got the snow. So I guess it'd be kind of like one of those little snow globe things that you hold in your hand and you shake up.
Thanks, Charlie. It was great talking to you, too. All right, let's talk again sometime.
Well, I could try it again. I could come up with another answer, I'm sure.
Okay, call back as soon as you can. Bye, Charlie. Simon's on the line from Fountain City, Wisconsin. City of Fountains.
Hey.
Hey, Simon.
It's great to be on. It's been a long dream of mine ever since I started watching.
You've been watching the radio for how long now?
I don't even know.
Yeah, no, I can understand that, too.
Ever since I was born.
Really?
Yeah.
Honestly, yeah, and watching the radio all that time, waiting for something to happen on the damn thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Snow globes.
Are they sending them to the school where everybody was the mass, San Diego Elementary? Are they sending them there?
No.
Aww.
Yeah. Sorry. Bye then. Okay, then let's go to Columbus, Ohio, and Steve. Snow globes in the news. Steve is
Good
the question.
Morning, Michael. How
are you?
I'm not too sure.
Yeah.
I don't have a clue.
You don't?
But I'll guess.
Oh, we lost him. Okay, we're having quite a day all together. It's memorable, but I'm going to try and forget it as much as possible. Let's go to Monk. And Matt, are you Monk?
Hey, Michael, how you doing?
Hey, Monk. What up, man?
Hey. You want the answer?
Yeah, what's the answer, Monk?
It's all right to take snow globes on your Dreamliner now.
Okay, you can take this. TSA won't stop your snow globe. Okay. So, Monk, you're here in town here, huh?
That's right, Mike.
Yeah. What are you doing even as we speak now, Monk?
Staring into space, talking on the phone.
Yeah. Is it your own space or someone else's space? Or
I've got all my own space, all I need.
What do you do when you're not staring into space, Monk?
Not much of anything and very little of everything else.
Okay, so you're a generalist.
I'm quite good at it.
Okay. Okay, well, Monk, this is David.
Hello, David. How are you doing?
Fine, thanks. You?
Hey, great.
Excellent.
All right, so the two of you are a team right now. You guys work together, okay?
Let's kill this quiz, David. Come on.
Sounds good.
And what are those categories, Sarah Nix?
The categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school, had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay, Monk, you're up. What would you like?
People.
People it is. Okay, survey results. And here it is right now. Percentage of women who say they just as soon pay half of the check. on their first dinner date. Is it 3%, 13%, or 82%? Women say they'd like to pay because then there's no obligations, I guess.
Is that Near East Side of Madison or anywhere else?
That's not get personal,
Are you
Monk.
Thinking about a universe of one, Monk, or...
Yeah.
I live in a universe of one, but I've included you today.
He's got his own space there. We went through this.
What do you think, David?
3%, 13%, or 82% of women say they'd just as soon pay their half of the check.
I'd go with 82%.
Oh, 82. He goes with 82, Monk.
He's a lot younger than me.
Yeah.
yeah. Or 13.
Your first instincts, they say.
Is this on the first date?
First date, yeah.
No, I'd say 13, yeah, with David.
82 it is. That's
yeah,
right.
All right.
Okay.
Excellent. Thank you.
Okay.
What game is that?
All right.
I'm a little confused, but I think that's one right.
That's
and
one
zero
right.
On.
Yes.
Okay,
no, 82%. He said it. I heard him. You heard
thank
him.
Thank you. Thank you, David.
Yep. Okay. What's left there?
I think
there?
I broke
Sorry.
Up on that call.
What's left are current events, places, things you should have learned in school, science, or odds and ends.
David.
Current events.
Current events right out of the news. Let's see if it is. Yes.
Hope it's not about
why were 18 human heads seized at O'Hare? A shipment of 18 human heads were seized at O'Hare due to what?
Why did I'm guessing any time they find 18 human heads at an airport, they're going to seize them.
Not at O'Hare. I don't know. It is. Very quite a bit, I think. Monk, did you hear about the story? 18 human heads seized at O'Hare? Any idea?
Yeah, they didn't have the proper paperwork. They weren't properly packaged.
Paperwork!
Yes.
That's it! Yes! Monk,
excellent.
You rule, man. Cool. All right.
That's two right and zero wrong.
Their paperwork. That's so good. I love it. And what's left there, Sarah?
Places, things you should have learned in school, science, or odds and ends.
Monk?
Things they should have learned in school.
Things you should have learned in school. All right. If you are a weakly interacting massive particle, you are, in fact, a what? Particle.
A weakly interactive particle.
Weakly interactive massive particle. Weakly.
Is that a nanoparticle? Or
that's
a
with a W.
Or?
Interacting, that's with an I. Massive, M-A-S-F.
Wimp.
S-F-I-F-V.
A wimp?
Hey, wait a minute.
A wimp particle?
Yes.
He says a wimp particle.
It's a science question. Yeah, go ahead, David. You're the scientist, aren't you?
Wimp particle?
Yes.
Wimp particle is right. They win the quiz. Holy cow.
Way to go, David. You knocked it through the park.
David, you won an assortment of Funky Monkey snacks, freeze-dried fruit slices that are gluten-free, wheat-free, dairy-free, peanut and tree-nut free, with no added preservatives from Funky Monkey, fruit that crunches. One beverage combines, Monk, this is for you, by the way, one beverage combines cozy warmth with that caffeine kick, and it sounds like you might be able to use it this morning, hot buttered rum, tiramisu and gingerbread, three great coffees, precision roasted in Madison by Steep and Brew Coffee. That's coffee done right. And each of you can go retro, right back to the last century with the irreverent CD-ROM trivia game, You Don't Know Jack, from Berkeley Systems and Jellyvision, and get hip to the 21st century with the book, What Do You Know? Test your knowledge with the ultimate collection of amazing trivia, quizzes, stories, fun facts, and everything else you never knew you wanted to know by Michael Feldman from Bristol Park Books. Congratulations to you both.
Fabulous. Thank you, Michael.
David,
thank
good
you
job. Play. Monk, hang on. Hang on in your space.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Michael Feldman's What You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer international. This is PRI Public Radio International.
Perfect. Couldn't be better.
Live from the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, and I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, Professor Stan Temple thaws the winter freeze. Thanks for the memos and more of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now the man who wonders what's so unrare as a day in January. It's Michael Feldman.
Thank you, Sarah.
You're very welcome.
We're changing the tone now.
I was thinking that I might read like the guy who read the four disclaimers, all of my copy from now on. Maybe I should read like a classic radio host, announcer, or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Think about that.
Well.
Well, you know, each week at this time, read actual memos sent in from actual listeners. And also comments, such as this one from Joyce. Weldon in New Gloucester.
Gloucester.
That was close, though. Maine. Maine?
Maine.
Mm-hmm. Listened in Connecticut, and now she listens online, I guess. About the local news, she says her paper runs dispatch news every day, which more and more gives us a good laugh, like the naked man who jumped the fence to strangle the dog and bite the owner. No, tell us about that one. Then there was a man who robbed a bank and ran across the street to another bank to hide. Then there's the governor of New Hampshire who doesn't want to raise a tax on beer right now because the Patriots might make it to the Super Bowl. And also, this sounds like one of your lists, Jeff. And also, a lady who robbed a Dunkin' Donut or the front cash box and left her flip-flops behind. The police got her DNA from the shoe and found her in jail, where she was arrested for another crime that day. This is a good... I like to get this paper. I got to subscribe. It's good stuff. My husband and I believe it is a requirement for criminals to be dumb after reading some of these everyday articles in our paper. Just thought you'd get a laugh. Thanks for the show. Thank you. Joyce Weldon. And new...
Gloucester.
Gloucester. How do you say the sauce, the Worcestershire sauce?
This is a great question.
Yeah.
Yeah. Worcestershire?
Oh.
I don't know if that's right. Is that right? I don't know.
You're asking me? Anyone have a different pronunciation of the sauce?
Worcestershire.
Worcestershire. Worcestershire. You say it like that. Worcestershire.
Worcestershire.
Yeah, good. All right, here's an actual memo. Actually, a couple of them here, since they're both bathroom memos. Most of the memos are actually bathroom memos, and I got tens of thousands of them now, and they're all basically the same thing, but what the heck. Here it is from, it goes out to everybody, from somebody, and it says, rescheduled for Thursday. We need to perform some plumbing work in conjunction with the renovation of the new restroom. In caps, by the way. It's a good one. Therefore, we will be closing down the West End restrooms from 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. date tomorrow, Thursday. By closing them down, I mean no flushing of the toilets, urinals, or utilizing the sinks. This only applies to the West Side restrooms of the building. Apologize for the incontinence. You know, and it's the first time that word has been misused properly. We get a lot of incontinence thing. First time it actually works. So I thought that was memorable. And there's this one, too, as a bonus. Goes out to everybody, again, from somebody. This is from work, okay. Please be advised that when Phoenix Services is cleaning the restrooms, they either block the door with the cleaning cart or place a sign to obstruct entry. Request that you please utilize another restroom in another location that is provided within the building. We thank you for your cooperation and assistance with housekeeping. Oh, that wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be. Anyhow, thank you for those memos. There was no upshot. I'm sorry. I thought there was an upshot. I should read these before I do. Okay. So where can they send all these the memos, the letters, the comments?
Oh, they can send memos to whatdoyouknow@wpr.org, subject line memos.
Okay.
Or they can go to notmuch.com and post it there.
Yeah. So I see Monk is still in line here. Is he still in line? Hi, Monk. How you doing?
Oh, hi, Michael.
I'm still up on my screen there. We got to talk to Lyle about that. All right. Well, global warming is a sword with two edges. By the way, what swords don't have two edges? Anyway. And we have a gentleman here who can tell you all about it. He is Professor Stanley A. Temple, who is right now getting national attention for early springs occurring in the Midwest and the East. And this is him. I can call him Stan, because he's here at the University of Wisconsin, and I'm a Badger, too. So you made national news. Is your phone ringing off the hook?
Yeah, it actually has been.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it's my name. I think it's the fact that the article
used
data from Aldo Leopold and Henry David Thoreau, names that are a little more famous than mine.
Did you know them personally?
No.
Aldo, maybe.
No, afraid not.
Before our time, huh?
I ended up with his position at the University of
you
Wisconsin.
You do. You are the new Aldo Leopold.
Well,
yeah.
I wish.
And Aldo Leopold, is, like in Wisconsin, at least, it's probably everywhere now, but sort of like a like Saint Aldo in terms of environmentalism and really looking at ecology and all those things.
His book, A Sand County Almanac, yeah, is often called the Bible of the modern environmental movement, so yeah, maybe that makes him a saint.
Yeah. Was he what inspired you to go into this field?
Well, he certainly was one of the individuals who did. I read his book when I was a teenager and yeah, was very inspired by it.
Yeah, and one of the things that he did was he kept extensive journals and notes about when things were blooming, blossoming in early or late or whatever, and that's been invaluable in sort of tracking what has happened in terms of temperatures.
It really is. You know, the 19th century naturalists kept journals in which they noted most of the things that they observed when they were out in nature. Unfortunately, that's sort of a dying art today. Somehow Facebook and Twitter don't quite yeah, replace a
do you
journal.
Keep one? Do you keep one yourself?
A journal, I do. Yeah. Yes, yeah, I do. Yeah. But Aldo Leopold's journals and Henry David Thoreau's journals were really very detailed in that yeah, they monitored hundreds of natural events. And fortunately, they were famous writers, so mm-hmm, their journals got preserved so that we can go back and look at them and try to make some sense out of
yes,
how things have changed.
And thanks to Thoreau, we know we can eat a woodchuck if
that's
desperate.
True. Best to parboil them, as I recall.
Yeah. Walden Pond there.
Yeah.
But I think for a while he's actually on Emerson's front lawn, just living there in a little yeah, hut.
Yeah, Walden Pond's a very different place today, of course.
Is it? Yeah, have you been there?
Yes, I have, yeah. 1850s, it was out on the fringes of Boston, and now it's pretty much surrounded by suburbia and is pretty much a suburban park.
Mm-hmm. And Aldo Leopold's bailiwick?
Aldo Leopold's shack is yeah, still out in the country in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And it's
maintained? Are there?
It is. It's a National Historic Landmark, the only chicken coop so designated.
But was there a Mrs. Aldo Leopold? Is that why he was in a chicken coop?
There certainly was. Yeah. Estella Leopold, his wife.
Yeah. Was she in favor of his research or just to get him out of the house?
She was very supportive. I think yeah, the whole family got into weekends up at the shack.
Yeah.
A place to get away from Madison for the weekend.
And pretty much by looking at what happened then, when what did he look at? What sort of plants did he look at?
He looked at hundreds of plants, hundreds yeah, of different animals, and most people who keep these journals, they are very anxious to record the first event of the year, mm-hmm, when the first plant blooms, when the first robin migrates back to Wisconsin, and so forth. So his notebooks were full of all kinds of details, but the ones we were particularly interested in for this study was when did different plants first bloom during the year.
Give me a for instance. What plants are we talking about here?
Well, he took the whole gamut from trees like cherries down to bushes like service berries, down to plants like passflowers or a bloodroot or trillium. Mm-hmm. He pretty much covered the bases. There weren't many plants
crocus,
or animals.
Did he do crocuses?
Well, there weren't many crocuses around the shack.
No.
It's pretty much a rural place. But
that's more of a city thing to put in crocuses, I suppose.
Yeah. There was a lilac tree that Mrs. Leopold planted in front of the shack to dress it up, and there are lots of notes about when the lilac tree bloomed. It's still there.
Same
lilac tree, yeah.
She isn't, but the tree is.
That's true.
All right. So, and by looking at those, let's say, trilliums, let's say, mm-hmm, was that one of his favorites, the trillium?
Yeah, people like trillium. They like early spring wildflowers. It's sort of.
And that would be one of the first ones to bloom in spring.
It would be early, yes.
Mm-hmm. And so in what year are we talking about here? What days?
Well, Aldo Leopold kept his journals at the shack from, mm-hmm, from 1945 and until he died mm-hmm, in 1947. Mm-hmm. But Aldo Leopold's notes go all the way back to his childhood.
Oh.
His journals go all the way back to when he was 8 years old.
Do we know his earliest trillium?
We certainly could go back and look, and I can almost picture in my mind one of his earliest journal entries, which was back in the late 19th century when trillium was certainly on the list.
Yeah. Give us some dates here now. I know I saw something in the article here, but I'll let you say it. Something that bloomed in his day, and when that was, and what it was.
Well, what we discovered yeah, was that we could make comparisons to how things happened in the 1930s and 40s to when they're happening today.
Right.
And for the dozens of plants that we monitored, they were all blooming much earlier, in some cases as much as a month earlier than they did in Aldo Leopold's time. Mm-hmm. The second question was, of course, well, why is this happening? So we were able to go back and look at the dates on which these plants flowered and compare that to the temperature in the years. And we found a very tight correlation between the average spring temperature during March, April, and May mm-hmm. and the dates on which these plants bloomed.
Do you happen to have that data with you? I'd like to look it over.
And 2012, of course, was off the chart. It was the warmest year on record, and most especially, it was the warmest spring on record. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really just was off the charts. And it struck us that this was an opportunity, actually, to do something that scientists always want to do, and that is extrapolate their data mm-hmm. to make predictions that are really outside the bounds of what they've already observed. And 2012 was clearly out of the bounds of anything that had been observed in the past. So we asked the simple question, could you have used the historical relationship between temperature and flowering date? Mm-hmm. Could we have predicted the record early flowering yeah. of 2012? And it turns out we can't.
Yeah. Shouldn't you have been asking, why didn't we predict it?
Well, if you're into the negative approach, yeah.
Shouldn't we be looking at 2000, let's say, 15 yeah. or something?
So in 2012 was so warm in the spring, it was actually the average temperature last year was close to what climate scientists predict is going to be the average in the second half of this century. Mm-hmm. So it gave us a little peek at the future.
Is there a number there? Because we're in Wisconsin here, and any help would be...
Sure. Last spring, the average temperature in March, April, and May mm-hmm. was 54 degrees Fahrenheit. Which is downright balmy.
That is.
Considering that we're you and I are old enough that we probably remember the good old days when it snowed in May.
No, I don't remember that. opening day, Milwaukee yeah. Braves, yeah. you know, those yeah, got snowed on.
That's right.
Yeah. yeah, and that was April, first week of April, though, yeah. not May.
So it really has changed dramatically, yeah. and as I said, it gives us a peek into the future, and what we saw, you know, isn't particularly welcome news because there are a lot of problems that are created by a particularly warm early spring.
Mm-hmm. But it's pluses and minuses, though. I mean, come on, we're in Wisconsin. Come on. You know, we could stand a bit of warming, maybe not, you know, you don't want a lot. You don't want Michigan to
That's true. It's nice
rise
to hang
over its banks or whatever it would do, you know.
Nice to hang up those winter clothes.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if you're in nature, if you're not a human being living mm-hmm. in an air-conditioned, warmed house, mm-hmm. What's happening out there in the climate really has some pretty big impacts on your lives.
Significant.
Yep.
What impacts, for example?
Well, in Wisconsin last year, we had some fairly dramatic agricultural mm-hmm. consequences of that very early spring. There was almost a complete failure of the Door County cherry crop. Mm-hmm. Because of the early spring, the cherry trees blossomed at an all-time record early date, only to subsequently be hit by a frost so that they lost their blossoms. And
happened in my yard.
Cherries. Yeah.
I have a nice little cherry tree. They're crummy little cherries, you know, all pit and very little cherry.
Yeah.
But bloomed really, and it was beautiful. I got all kinds of pictures of it. And then I went out and I noticed that nothing had actually grown on it. You know,
same with my cherry tree. Yeah. And same with a lot of cherry trees. And there was a wonderful headline in the.
Is the cherry tree the canary of this mine?
Well, it could be. Yeah. You could take it as something that would indicate, hey, something's really wrong here.
Yeah.
There was a wonderful headline of the Milwaukee papers last spring. It said, "No cherry pie for you, climate change deniers." But it wasn't just cherries in Wisconsin. If you go over to western Wisconsin in the Driftless area, they had a really hard time with their apple crop. Mm-hmm. And it was a slightly different problem. Mm-hmm. The apple trees broke dormancy and flowered before there were enough bees around to pollinate the flowers.
Yeah.
And as a result, the same problem, the flowers didn't get pollinated, and without pollination, you don't get apples.
Probably fewer bees, too, as a result.
Well, yeah. In fact, as many of you will know, people have to truck bees in.
Very small trucks.
The native bee. Well, they're actually very big trucks filled with
thousands
of hives.
Of course.
And here in Wisconsin as well, I think we're, the third or fourth largest producer of maple syrup?
Mm-hmm.
Not last year.
No.
It was pretty much a wipeout because maple trees require a particular temperature regime of warming and freezing in order to produce a good crop of sap that we can turn into maple syrup, and that didn't happen last year. So
what temperature does a maple tree like? Or is that not your field?
That's certainly not my field to know, but I certainly enjoy the maple syrup that results when you get the right combination of temperatures.
Yeah, me too.
And it was pretty much a wipeout throughout the Northeast. I read a headline that they had busted some folks on the Vermont border.
The Canadians.
Smuggling in Canadian maple syrup so they could label it as Vermont maple syrup.
Yeah, like those Canadian. They'll smuggle anything. You know, cigarettes, maple syrup, you know, cheese.
Beer.
There's a cheese ring, a big cheese ring up there in Canada.
Yeah.
And
so it has consequences. It's not just, you know, worrying about wildflowers. It has consequences for us in our agricultural crops.
However, now, is this an anomaly or is this... What's the opposite of an anomaly? A trend or something?
Well, it is a trend, of course.
It is, yes.
It is a trend, and we can certainly see that in the climate data, which for Wisconsin goes back well over a century. And it's no question, it's getting warmer, just as the climate scientists have predicted. And, of course, we get, along with that warming climate, we get unusual weather events, extreme, not climate. Climate is sort of the average conditions, but you get the extremes. And we've certainly had some extremes in Wisconsin this year, last year, with drought as well as the heat.
Yeah. But are these, can these be like normal cyclical variations that occur over, you know, longer periods of time than we're used to thinking of, perhaps? Or
there certainly are those big cycles.
Yeah.
And if you are into the deep history of cycles of climate on Earth, you would predict that we should be in a period of cooling.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, we're in a very rapid, unprecedented period of warming.
Yeah.
So we've actually reversed the long-term trend that has been going on for millennia.
Well, that's interesting. There was a Wisconsin era at one time, wasn't there? Was that geologic,
sure.
Or was that also...
The Wisconsin glaciers.
Yeah.
The Wisconsin
glaciation. So that certainly would affect...
That was a big part of that.
That affects your day.
Bigger cycle of, right, yeah.
A glacier.
Aldo Leopold, you know, his records were quite precise. You know, he took lots of notes, but probably I think one of the most amazing things both about Henry David Thoreau and Aldo Leopold is that they weren't taking these notes as data. They were simply taking these notes because they enjoyed being out in nature and they wanted to record the things that they had observed. And Aldo Leopold had a great line in one of his essays. He, of course, had both Thoreau and Leopold were good with words.
Mm.
And in referring to his note-taking habit, Aldo Leopold said, "Keeping records enhances the pleasures of the search and the chance of finding order and meaning in these events."
Mm.
Aldo Leopold wrote his notes all about the pleasure of the search. Yeah, it took us 75 years to dig into those notes and find the order and meaning in them.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And then, of course, the larger picture is what's causal and what makes this happen, what's causing this to happen. It's not really your field to
not,
do
not
that.
Especially my field. As an ecologist, I'm more interested in the consequences.
In the consequences stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But can you, from data, can you infer what cause may be?
We certainly believe the climate scientists, the data that they present, despite some of the popular misconceptions, there is almost universal agreement among scientists that climate change is human caused.
That's fossil fuels and...
Yeah, producing excess carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases in the environment.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big problem, and, you know, as someone once said, you know, 85% of the public believes in climate change, and the remaining 15% are in Congress. It's It's quite remarkable that something as important as climate change can be turned into a political football, but it certainly has been.
Yeah. Now, someone or young people who are kind of interested in this and maybe want to go into this field or they want to know more about, what are some good resources for, to learn more about it and the research that's going on and places to go? Where can people go to find out?
Well, there's an organization that does a good job of putting out information aimed at the general public, 365.org, by Bill McGibbon, who has sort of put aside his writing for a while to become something of an activist on informing the public about climate change.
Yeah. And since you did mention the political aspect of this, Congress and so forth, is there any cross or party agreement on these things, or is it all down to politics as to, you know, representing producers of emissions versus the general public? Or is there some general acknowledgement that this is occurring and something needs to be done, and is it transcending the political atmosphere at all, or is that?
It doesn't seem to be, yeah. And the sociologists are having a ball studying how people react to the news from scientists about climate change and other aspects of the world that are clearly supported by the evidence. There certainly are a group of people who tend to be sort of anti-science, who just don't want to believe things that don't line up with their personal worldview, despite what the evidence might suggest. Mm-hmm. Not all of them are in politics, but quite a few of them seem to be.
Yeah. And in terms of your projections now from your data and so forth, because you can make projections, what do we see, let's say, in the next 10 years, a continuation of this, of increasing temperatures?
I would say, at least in terms of all the plants and animals that we have been monitoring, they're going to continue to respond, as they always have, to climate change. The problem is that not all species respond the same way. Mm-hmm. Early spring wildflowers, the ones that we addressed in this current paper, tend to respond very strongly to temperature, but not all species do. And that ends up creating the same type of out-of-sync problem that the apple trees and the bees had in western Wisconsin, mm-hmm. where two species that have some important interaction with one another, like a plant and its pollinators, get out of sync. They wake up at a different time in the spring, and as a result, an important ecological service doesn't get accomplished. And we're going to see more and more of that.
Yeah. And I would think the animal species as well, because I noticed that the geese don't leave anymore.
That's right.
That's got to be significant.
Well, it is. And, you know, we always think of robins and bluebirds as the harbingers of spring, or at least that's the pattern in the historical literature. And, of course, here in Madison, Wisconsin, we have robins and bluebirds with us year-round. They just don't leave. It's so warm in the winter now.
Yeah, and the geese, that's the big
problem. Well, the geese, yeah. We have geese that not only don't leave, but, you know, they tend to
They run out. The joint.
They hang out in places where they compete with us.
They are mean. You ever walk up to a goose? I'm just walking I'm walking past a goose, and they take it personally.
That's right. The word goose has a biological origin.
That should be the last word on this. Thank you very much. Professor Stanley A. Temple, ladies and gentlemen, from the University of Wisconsin. Thank you very much. Thank you. Professor Emeritus Forest and Wildlife Ecology, Environmental Studies, and also the Aldo Leopold Fellow. Interesting stuff.
I think he just identified a niche. For somebody.
A niche?
Yeah. There has to be somewhere somebody online doing naturalism almanac stuff. People have to be keeping track of when stuff comes out online somewhere, don't you think?
I think probably more than one.
Yeah. They should get all those people together.
Yes?
Citizen science.
There you go. The niche has been filled.
Thank you for shouting out from the audience, Professor Temple. All right, here. Hi.
Hey, Jeff's daughter was actually goosed by a goose.
Thank you for bringing me back down to earth. Tell us about it, Jeff.
Some geese goosed her.
Yeah. Your daughter was attacked by a goose?
Yeah, at the zoo.
Oh, it was at the zoo. Okay, so it's okay there.
She had some food. And 20 of them surrounded her.
Yeah.
Caw, caw.
That's a crow, I believe, Jeff. They make a horrible noise. They really have a terrible sound. I mean, they do it on purpose. They're trying to intimidate you. Okay. Sorry. Is she okay, though? She was just. They don't actually have teeth, I think. Right?
Oh.
You just about have to hit him with a golf club, is what it comes down to. You know, if you want to get rid of him. You got to have a good swing to begin with. Okay. So, okay, a little tune here. Now, are we having a theme today? I didn't notice a theme.
No. Right. We overdid it on the theme last week.
No, so. I liked it. I like it when you do themes.
Yeah, no theme today.
Okay.
Well, this is a tune by Joe Henderson. It's called Mamacita.
Mamacita. John Tooling. Jeff Hammond on the bass.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, Michael Feldman.
Okay, I'm coming.
Wait a minute. Jeff, give me the microphone.
Thank you. What is that about aromatherapy?
What about it?
What don't you mix it with?
Hang gliding.
Okay, thank you very much. Mike Newman is here from Bruce. And what I do, it says here, retired, I work on my honey. Where is Mike Newman? Your honey do list?
Yes.
D-O?
D-O.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
That's what I do.
Thought you were into melons or something.
No.
Okay. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
You got an actual list? Do you have it on you?
Every day. Yeah. Yep. That's all my years as a teacher.
You bring it along, or is it on the refrigerator or something?
It's on a Rolodex. It never gets done. Yeah.
Is this the honey that does it here?
Sure. Yeah.
Is it true?
It's true. It's true.
It's better to be straightforward about it than just thinking he should know what he has to do and then holding it against him, like some wives do.
Yeah.
He doesn't do it.
Maybe she could learn something from me.
Yeah. Does he do everything on the list, pretty much? Or?
Pretty much. Yeah. He's a good.
Is there a reward involved?
Maybe.
What can we expect? Oh, never mind. What's the current list? Do you remember what's on it?
I know. I start the day by walking her to school each day to make sure she gets there.
Yeah.
So we have our insurance. And I remind her that I had to work when I was her age, too. And
yeah.
Yeah. So it works
You're
out
walking
well.
Walking her to school for the insurance?
Bruce is a small town.
Huh?
Well, yeah, Bruce is a small town, so we can walk. We don't have to take mass transit.
You mean she's not covered by the insurance if you walk?
If she quits, yeah. Then
well, for the retired. To get the insurance.
I'm retired. I don't get that, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's on the list?
That's on the list, yeah.
All right, so that's a pretty easy one.
Yeah. Make her lunch. She comes home for lunch. I make that every day.
Yeah.
Have that ready to go.
Well, what does she like?
Salad.
Healthy. Same thing?
Same, pretty much. No. Yeah, not, she's pretty
good. We got a guy down here who can help you. He's very good at making it. If you want to try something with oranges and rice
well,
or something.
Well, we do that sometimes too, yeah. Yeah, not the rice too much, no.
And all right,
no.
So that you do the lunch thing every day.
Yeah.
So it's like having a kid, basically.
Yeah, do the laundry, get the mail, pay the bills, and once in a while maybe do some projects, but not too often. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything around the house?
He does a lot of cooking, cleaning. He remodeled the kitchen.
There you go. Yeah. See, now, was that on the list?
It was.
Remodel the damn kitchen already. That would be my list.
But I don't dust.
Do something about it. No, don't do it yourself, whatever you do.
I don't dust, though.
You don't dust?
No.
Okay.
Men don't like to do that.
Well, what a guy, huh? Yeah. Mike Newman, ladies and gentlemen. Let's give him a little something, shall we? Mike is a man we should all be, I think.
How about an autographed edition of Bob Palomsky's Gardening in the Carolinas, revised edition from Cool Springs Press? Climate change, right? It's practically the Carolinas here now. I don't know.
Okay, all right. Well, that's the best we can do. Okay,
all right.
Congratulations. Nice to meet you as well. What are you doing here? This is getting very annoying. I'm sorry I suggested it. Tom's got a new camera. Well, it is kind of cool. Clayton S. from the town of Clayton, in Clayton County, Iowa. What are the odds on that? A Clayton from Clayton in Clayton. That's like Clayton. Clayton to the third power. I guess you come over here, Clayton. Plus, Clayton is not that common. I have a brother, Clayton. It's a name you don't hear much anymore.
I think you're more now than 15 years ago.
Well, 15 years ago, I heard it because it was my brother, Clayton. But I mean,
but as far as commonality of it.
Yeah, you think there's more Claytons now?
Yeah.
Maybe in Clayton County. And
possibility.
Yeah. Now, are you named after the Claytons of Clayton County?
I'm named after a town.
You're named after the town.
And the town is named after a lawyer that came from Virginia in the 1800s, I guess.
Oh, so it's not related. It's not a long string of Claytons, you know, like a Clayton family name.
Nope.
Is there a Clayton in Clayton?
There's a Clayton Center in Clayton, about 10 miles away from
it. Not any good, though. If there was a Clayton C. Clayton in Clayton, in Clayton County, then we'd have something. What's your middle name?
Victor.
So close. Well, welcome here. How are you?
Good, good.
What brings you to town here?
The show.
You came for the show?
Yeah.
Whoa. But they got no entertainment in Clayton? What's?
No.
What do you do for kicks in Clayton?
Raise kids and work.
That's just the fun part, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
And what do you work at?
Patterson Sand. I work underground mine.
Underground mine?
Yep, frack sand.
Yeah, okay. And your question here is a timely one.
You want me to read it?
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
Question.
I don't understand why you asked it, really.
Is it true that when ice cubes melt in a drink, the fluid level goes down?
Whoever has measured it, you know, having a drink, it's got to be a bad night in the tavern. If you're having your boxcar there, and you're actually measuring the level of it, someone's, what?
I would say yes, it goes down, because there's some air in the ice, I would think, that would dissipate as it melts, and have a nice day.
And have a nice day, did you say?
Yes.
Okay, there's one opinion. Let me take. I saw someone else had a reaction here. Yeah, excuse me, Clayton. I gotta take the vox populi here. Yes.
The answer is it should go down because water increases in volume when it turns to ice.
There you go, Clayton. Is that what you suspected from your drinks?
I believe so. It's supposed to be tied in with global warming. The scientists are saying because the ice was melting, everybody was worried about the water levels rising, with the ice glaciers melting. But really, in fact, when the glaciers melt, water goes down.
Well, there's a drink, and then there's glaciers, you know. Talking about but I see your point. You want to speak to that?
No, just sixth grade science. Ice.
Well, did you drink in sixth grade? I don't think so.
No, but I just remember from sixth grade. Oh, I was drinking water when I was in sixth grade, yes, but.
So you say global warming, though, is actually lowering the level of your drink.
I'm not a scientist. I'm just a miner.
Then why are you drinking? Thank you, Clayton. Clayton from Clayton. All right. It's worth thinking about. If Adam and Eve are okay looking, where do ugly people come from? I don't agree. I think they probably were very ugly. And I mean, because you know, each generation gets better looking. I mean, my daughters are gorgeous, and look at me. So I think they must have been hideously ugly, Adam and Eve. You know, who else would have them? There's no one else. You know, they're lucky. They're the only two people on Earth because who else would have them? They were so ugly. But then their kids are a little better looking, better, but until they got to you know, our children that are. Have you noticed that?
Sure.
What's your opinion about this? Have a nice day, sir.
Well, yes. Well, anybody that deals with snakes, you know, they have a tendency to look a little funny, I think.
Okay, thank you. And have a nice day.
You too.
Can you come every week? Because I think you bring us back down to earth.
We're tired.
Okay, take the same seats every day. It's on me.
Okay.
No charge. Yeah, right. Yeah. No salesman will call. We'll just come here and sit in this seat.
I'll tell him out front.
Because you're a good laugher. You know?
Yes,
and
he is.
He's got these, he thinks about things.
Yeah.
That's not, you know, he stops and thinks about it. He always has a nice day comment, which that's his trademark sort of thing. No. Let's get your name. You are?
Dennis Dopkins.
Dennis Dopkins is the man.
Okay.
Oh, and you're?
Sandy Dopkins. And yeah, he's happily married for 38 years.
Is she here today?
No, you sound like my relatives.
The Dopkins. Every audience should have a pair of Dopkins. Let's give them some. We got the wine. Give them the wine. Still got the wine.
Yeah, yeah. Against my better judgment, I will send them home with alcohol. It's award-winning wines, Domaine de Sac and Prairie Fumé from the Woolershine Winery.
You don't
wineries.
Get to keep it if you don't give it away. You know, the Dopkins will get a nice bottle of wine. Come back here. We'll save the seats for you. Okay. Okay. Got to go somewhere. You know, retired. We're gonna play another round of the What Do You Know quiz just for the idea of it and see it. Well, you know. Okay, I don't see any, we are holding his hand up, or he wouldn't. But way in back there, yes, there's a young lady way in back there who obviously is interested in playing this quiz or something. She's raising her hand for some reason. We don't know why. And let's just see if it's not too quick. Okay. All right. Oh, boy. Took a while to get here.
Hi.
Could you sit a little closer next time? Is that possible?
Well, I've got a baby here, so I'm kind of in and out constantly. Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. Where's the baby?
My husband has her right now, which is why I need to do the quiz.
Yeah. When the baby comes back?
Yep.
How old is the baby?
7.5 months.
7.5 months. Nice at 7.5 months.
Yeah. Yeah.
When they turn 8, they get to be problematic, I think.
Right.
And you are?
I'm Debbie.
You from around here, Debbie?
We just moved back to Wisconsin, yes.
From where?
From Fargo, North Dakota.
From Fargo. We were in Fargo not too long ago.
Oh, yeah, well, we didn't see you there. We weren't there anymore. Yeah.
Debbie, give me one good reason you should play this quiz.
Well, because I don't get time away from my baby all that often, and this is a good opportunity.
Yeah.
Even though I love her a bunch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Strike while the iron is out of the room. I always say. Come on down here. Debbie, nice shoes. I like those. Okay. Hurry before he comes back. Where did he go with her?
In the hall.
Just in the hall?
Yeah.
Burping time? Or?
Yeah, yeah.
I get that, too. I like to burp in the hall myself. Have a seat there if you would. Pearl, isn't that a sweet name?
Yeah.
Nice choice.
Thanks.
Are there other gems in the family? Is she the first? Okay. And the husband's name?
His name is Joe.
I thought it was Onyx. I'm going to be Onyx. Joe and Pearl are out in the hall right now.
Yep.
And this is the first, I presume? Your
yes,
first?
It is.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So going pretty good?
It's going great.
Yeah, it looks
yeah.
like it.
Yeah.
Did you find that preparation? Did you go to baby class and all that?
We took a Lamaze class.
Lamaze, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And breathe.
It was good for me to learn some things, but yeah. My husband
Joe.
Once we were actually in the process of having this baby, he felt like the class was useless. Everything he learned didn't necessarily work very well.
What was he supposed to do?
He was supposed to coach
breathe,
me and work me through it. And
God, I tried.
At some point, he just kind of gave up and realized he was no help.
Well, you know, in my case, I was trying to be helpful. He said, "Breathe. You're on a imagine you're on a beach." Not lying on a bed with your legs up and
right.
this creature trying to escape from you.
Right.
And so I tried. I tried to be very calming and stuff, and she just get out of my face.
Yeah. You know?
And it's been that way ever since.
Oh.
So I think Lamaze ruined my life, is what I'm trying to tell you.
Right.
And so, yeah, okay. I remember going to take a pillow and go to class. You do that with a pillow?
Yeah, we took a pillow, actually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyone think that there's any relationship between a pillow and a baby?
Well,
I mean, I can bring a pillow home, no problem.
Right.
Yeah. Pillow, put it on the couch, fluff it up if
right.
you want.
Pillows
done.
Help you sleep, babies don't.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Because I remember that feeling when you walk in from the hospital and, you know, you get the little someone, an aide or someone has knitted a little cap for a little baby and you got the carrier. And you walk in the house and it's got you got the balloons that people gave you and all these balloons hanging up. And you walk in there with this little animal thing.
Mm-hmm.
You think, okay, what do you do?
Right now?
What do you
do? You
know, where is the training now? You know,
uh-huh.
I mean, I didn't know what. You know.
Yeah, it was scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You first
mm-hmm.
do it, but then you pick up on it.
You pick up on it, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I can have, I think, more, a lot of big family.
Yeah, or, we probably will.
Yeah. I guess we don't have to talk about this here, really.
Well, it's okay.
Personal thing.
Well, we'll probably have, I don't know.
Six, seven?
I've got two big brothers.
You do?
So it was a family of three kids, and yeah. that was a good size.
Yeah, it's a good size.
Yeah.
Cool. That's cool. And are you? Did you say you guys live here in town? Or
we live in Monroe,
Wisconsin. You're in Monroe. Okay,
mm-hmm.
cool. Is that where you were before you moved to Fargo?
No, I grew up mostly in Marshfield, Wisconsin.
Marshfield?
Mm-hmm.
Not too far away.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And what were you guys doing out in Fargo?
Well, my husband Joe had a job with...
I heard Pearl.
Martin Windows and Doors. That was probably her.
Yeah, I heard her.
So,
was he in?
Yeah, he worked for Marvin Windows and Doors up in Fargo, and at that time the economy was even worse than maybe it is now, depending on who you ask. And so he got a job up there, and we moved out there. So mm-hmm. it was a short time, but it was a good time.
Yeah. Well, welcome back home.
Thank you.
Glad to have you back here, and Pearl, of course. Nice to have her here, Debbie. So you know this work. Someone out there plays along with you, and
mm-hmm.
okay. And a general knowledge quiz, not trivia.
Right.
We're better than that. We're better than trivia. What do you know, quiz? And we have various categories, don't we? But first, we got to get someone to play along with
That's
you.
That's correct, yeah.
Yes. And how do we do that, Sarah Nix?
Well, people out there at home are going to pick up the phone and dial 1-800-942-5669 and answer this qualifying question.
Good night. The question is, who did NASA... fly to the moon on a laser beam? All right, I don't understand this at all, and I wrote it. NASA apparently used a laser beam to send an image to the moon, and I want to know who that image was of. Okay, it was in the news, it was everywhere. It was on All Things Considered, you should know this, public radio listeners. Let's go to the phones right now. Who did NASA fly to the moon on a laser beam is the question. Pat's in Kansas City. Hey, Pat. How's it going?
It's going all right. Hey, I wanted to tell you on the ice deal, it's not the ice in the water. It's the ice melting off the land that raises the sea level.
It's the ice on the land?
Yeah, it's melting and going into the water.
Okay.
It's not in the water already.
Okay.
So.
And usually it's not the ice on the bar, but it's the ice in your glass.
Yeah, I know. You know, if you got any ice or some dirt in your water, then when it melts, it'll raise the level.
Okay. How are you, Pat? Pretty good?
I'm all right.
Yeah. What you going to do tonight? Got some plans? Or?
We're having people over for dinner.
Oh, yeah. Who's cooking?
I am.
You are? What are you making?
I don't know yet. Got to go to the store and see what they got.
Well, what are you going to look for?
Something good.
What are you thinking? What are you thinking about?
I don't know. I might just make pizzas.
Homemade pizzas?
Yeah, homemade pizzas.
Oh, cool. You make a good crust, good sauce?
Yeah. Actually, now I know what I'm going to make since you said so. I'm just going to put some fontina cheese and some olives and some sun-dried tomatoes,
mm-hmm.
a little rosemary on there.
Rosemary?
Yeah. Not my mom. No.
Wouldn't want to do that.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of them forget the rosemary. Yeah, that's a very good point. You get the oregano a lot of times, but they forget the rosemary.
Yeah, you need that. That makes it taste really good.
Yeah. Are you driving there now to the store?
No, I'm actually in Kansas City. I'm driving down to the plaza. Hey, when are you going back out to Cliff and Carlos?
When?
Yeah, out in Shawnee. Remember you did that show and where their pool was going to be?
Yeah. The place is probably done by now. We should get back there.
I would not bet on that.
No. All right, Pat.
We're not veterans.
Pat, we can chat here all day, and I know we can. But,
yeah, I know.
Who did NASA?
And I don't know the answer.
Okay, all right.
But it was. No idea.
It was great talking to you, Pat.
All right, not Bob Marley.
No, no, no. Good idea though. Thanks, man. Talk to you. Bye. Okay. That's why this is not a science, and not an art. I guess we proved that. Hey, Chris.
Hello.
How are things down there in Charlottesville?
Not bad, not bad.
Yeah. I want. Do you get that cold weather that's coming your way, or does it miss you?
Yeah, it's arrived. It started with about an hour of snow the other night. And
in Charlottesville, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we get it occasionally.
Wow.
Occasionally.
Okay. Well, Chris, take your mind off that. Who did NASA send to the moon on a laser beam?
I think that would be the Mona Lisa.
You got it. Chris. All right. Way to work it. Way to work it. God, it's so professional all of a sudden. All right. So, Chris, what do you do out there in Charlottesville?
I work for the U.S. Army.
You do? What do you do for them?
I do analysis of helicopter systems.
Oh, you do? You're a helicopter guy, huh?
Yeah. Well, don't fly them. Just kind of study them.
Yeah. Does that mean you're in the Army or you work for them?
No, yeah, I'm a civilian. Work for them. Never been in.
Yeah. You like it that way, do you? Better?
Yeah. They don't send me around. I get to stay in one place.
Okay. Chris, this is Debbie.
Hi.
Join us here. And little Pearl, did Pearl come back in?
No.
Okay. Okay.
But hello, my husband's Debbie. Back, so I don't know who's taking care of
him. Where's the baby? Joe, where's the baby? Oh, my God. Okay, so two. Debbie, Chris, did you meet? I guess so. Okay. You two are a team right now. You work together. You collaborate, and we have various categories, don't we, Sarah Nix?
We do. And they are?
Yes.
Current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Chris, you pick the first one. What would you like?
I'll start out with science.
Science it is. All righty. If it's hen's teeth you're after, there were some. You have to go back a little ways, though. Do you have to go back 120 million? 150 million or 207 million years ago to find a hen with teeth in the fossil record?
Hen's teeth.
Yeah. They're pretty rare now. 120, 150, or 207 million years ago would you find the first, or at least an example?
I'm going to split the difference and say 150. How about you, Debbie?
Good.
What do you think?
That sounds good. 150, yes, 150 million
All right.
years ago. Hen's teeth. Well, they can't use the cliche. Yes.
That's one right and zero wrong.
Okay, what's left there?
Current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school, or odds and ends.
Debbie?
Oh, boy, let's do odds and ends.
Odds and ends, okay. Does the fittest or the least fittest bass take the bait? Okay, let me explain.
Okay.
I didn't know bass worked out.
yeah, me either.
I think they probably mean genetically fit or something. I don't know. I don't pry. I don't ask questions. Bass do with it. Does the fittest or the least fittest bass take the bait? When fishing, if you have a bat that is sort of the leader of his little bass contingent, the most fit... Of the bass, would he take more likely to take the bait, or the one who is less fit?
Least.
Least or less fit.
Less fit.
Less fit or least fit, as opposed to the fittest.
That's what I'm thinking.
Bass. Chris,
well, I'll go with that.
No, I'm sure it's the fittest. The fittest bass takes the bait. Contrary to maybe the popular thinking. Don't worry about it though. Why are you plotting that? They lost.
Moral support. Right, one, wrong, one.
They lost, and you were plotting. Okay. One, what's up there?
Okay. Current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school.
Chris?
How about things you should have learned in school?
Okay. Got plans for tonight, Chris?
Oh, not really, no.
No?
Just going to hang around.
Hang around?
Yep.
Sounds A little dull.
Well, I have to check with the wife, see what's going on.
Oh, okay. Say no more. Ixnay. If a penny costs 2.5 cents to make, is a nickel more than a dime?
A penny?
Can you repeat that?
Yes.
Penny?
Kind of proud of this question. I worked out it a lot. If a penny costs 2.5 cents to make, is a nickel more than a dime?
No.
That's one possible answer. What?
Then yes.
Yeah, I'm saying yes.
So in other words, does a nickel cost more than a dime to make?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, yes. No. I'm trying to read you.
Chris thinks it does.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, he's right.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. 11 cents to make a nickel. I can't make a nickel anymore because it cost me 11 cents is what I'm trying to say.
That's two right and one wrong.
Okay.
And the categories remaining are current events, people, or places.
Oh, okay.
People.
People kind of survey results. Let's see. Yes. Do patients lie more about sex or what they really eat to their doctors?
I'd say what they really eat. Mm-hmm.
Is that what you lie about to your doctor?
No, but I know that my husband has.
Joe comes in really handy, doesn't he? In every circumstance. Chris?
Well, I'm going to have to go with that. Then.
Yes, that's right. What they really eat, number one. Fib. Congratulations, they've won. What have they won?
Well, they have won a bunch of stuff that I'm not going to have time to read, unfortunately, because I have to tell you that tickets are still available for our next What Do You Know shows in Madison on January 26th, February 2nd, and February 9th at Monona Terrace.
You'll be pleased.
Tickets are limited for our next road show at the Shower Center in Hartford, Wisconsin, so secure yours today at notmuch.com.
Really good stuff.
And if you're looking to keep the laughs going, you can click over to notmuch.com, join our Facebook family, keep up with Michael's tweets, and play our online quiz. It's all available all the time at notmuch.com. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer international. Adam Friedrich, producer, with assistance from Michelle Good, Lyle Anderson, Martin Babcock, and Diana Cook. Technical director Tom Blaine, with help from Aubrey Ralph and Brad Kohlberg.
PRI, Public Radio International.